Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Celebrating 10 years of award-winning car talk, it's the In Wheel Time car show. Today coming to you from the monthly Tailpipes and Tacos cruise in at the Loopy Tortilla Tex-Mex on the Grand Parkway in Katy, Texas. Mm-hmm. Just ahead, car talk you want to hear, including Mr. Mars' car review. You'll want to stay tuned for that.
Surprise.
I'll be here.
I'm not going to tell you what it
I'll
is.
I'll be here.
Conrad has the events calendar. We'll have this week's auto news headlines, and we'll have a couple guests here at Loopy's Cruise Inn, mm-hmm. the Tailpipes and Tacos, all just ahead on today's In Wheel Time Car Show. Howdy, along with Mike out of this world, Mars, King Conrad DeLong. We need more Jeff Zekin,
yes,
and the
do.
Fabulous David Ainsley. I'm Don Armstrong. Glad you could join us, Mr. Mars.
You know, a couple of, I guess 2 months ago, something like that, we found this stunningly awesome car out there. It looked like a custom build, but we found out it was actually an Amaretta. Am I saying that right? Amaretta. Right. And we're still getting comments on our Facebook page about some of the images we put up with that. But the owner of that, Ron Furneaux, who is here, and is a little bunged up a little bit, but he's here. But this time he's got a 72 Mustang convertible down there that he would like to tell us about.
Ooh.
It's a silver and black one around there. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about it.
Well, I've had two shoulder surgeries, and I was in the hospital probably 6 weeks ago. And in the hospital, you don't have a lot to do, so I went through the ads for cars, and I saw this 72 Mustang.
You got to love that.
Yeah, I said, I got to have that. So it was in Dallas. So I called, and we discussed it, and I drove up the day after I got out of surgery.
Oh, gosh.
And saw it and bought it.
Nice.
And then I had surgery 2 days ago, and I just had to bring it to the show here. It's a car that was built by students at a junior college kind of thing.
Okay.
And that car is as good on the bottom as it is on the top.
So a class project that they restored.
Oh, God, it's gorgeous. I mean, there's nothing I would do to that.
I want to know about the parts and pieces. What kind of chassis?
An original chassis.
It's an original chassis.
351 Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they took it. They disassembled it, obviously. Powder coated the chassis.
Oh, wow.
And everything on this, it took them a year to build it. But class project, so it was perfect.
Yeah, they didn't have a time, and probably to a degree didn't have a budget.
Yep.
Just do what they needed to
exactly,
do it right.
Exactly.
So C6 automatic, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay. I see it's got the scoops on the hood. Is it a Ram Air 351?
Yes,
okay.
Supposedly.
Mm-hmm. He's not sure. He hasn't owned it long enough to, and he's crippled, so he can't.
I've driven it twice.
Well, thank you for driving it out here to share it with us.
But you were dying to come out here today, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I just couldn't resist.
Yeah, exactly.
That's too pretty to keep in the garage.
So no Marty report on it yet.
No.
And that'll kind of answer a lot of the questions of the car, because Marty report, that's the organization that is the Mustang experts,
sure. mm-hmm.
and they certify content of Mustangs and build numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
So is that in the plan, is to get a Marty report on it,
ultimately,
or not that big a deal?
Ultimately, yes. When I get a little better recovered, then certainly.
So what is the history on this car?
Well, the car actually, I don't think they made a Mach 1 convertible in 72. So I think this is a car that they made as a Mach 1, as a class project. I mean, and everything in that thing is...
It's a clone.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Tribute car.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay.
Tribute car. Sorry.
Yeah. Sounds better than clone. But it's the same thing.
Thank you.
Yeah. But it was. I drove up, and somebody associated with the school had it. The idea is they sell it, and that gives them money for the next project.
To fund the next project.
Yeah. So, do you know where the car came from? Who owned it before the school did?
Texas. Car. It's a Texas car.
Okay.
I do not know the owner's name, but it's a Texas car.
Okay. And you don't know whether or not he was the original owner or anything?
No, I do not.
Gotcha.
Well, but that's okay because those are the fun cars, actually.
Yeah. In Texas, for a couple of bucks, you can learn the whole history of the car through Department of Transportation. They can give you the ownership history of it. But beautiful car. It's now I don't know what they call it. It's a silver metallic, black stripe. Looks to be the Ram Air 351, so it's got the dual black stripes on it. Beautiful car. I didn't catch the interior color.
It's gray and silver.
Okay.
But she's a pretty little beast.
How did you find out about it? Just online?
Yep. I was in the hospital, like I said. And there's nothing to do there, so.
I found it.
To the collection.
Yeah. The next one you won't see for 2 years because it's a. Sure.
You know, they weren't stamping stuff back then like they are today.
Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
I know. That's what makes the car.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And I just, every time, you rarely see that car from death. But the clone is the way to go.
You can afford an original.
Or who's going to put an original on the road?
That's true. Yeah. Not unless you have a million bucks plus.
Well, I think there's been a Delamay couple of them.
Yes, there has been.
They're just breathtaking.
Yeah. Who makes a kit? It's a company out of New Jersey.
Okay.
Famous New Jersey. Yeah. And the frame is made by another company. It comes from South Carolina.
So it is a hard chassis. It's
something that's, all two.
An existing car.
Yeah, it's all two chassis.
So what power do you need?
I've got a 427.
You know, they call me a coon ass because I've got a baby grand piano next to this engine in my house.
And the engine's in your house.
Oh, God, yes. It's pretty.
Come on, Conrad. You can't tell me that you never did that ever.
It's in the bathtub.
I've had drag slicks in my house, but never the
engine.
Oh,
boy. No, this engine is gorgeous. We built it 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe five now.
So you're looking for something to put the engine into.
Yeah, I had a 67 Thunderbird four-door. But once we tore it down, the rust condition was just not favorable for redoing.
So it's a Ford 427.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So side oiler?
Yep.
Wow. How cool is that? Did you get a chance to see the Marauder that was out there before?
No, I have not.
It's gone. There was a 64
Mercury Marauder 427.
With 427 side oiler in it that was here.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to get him on the show, but what a collectible engine that is all by itself. So now I understand why you had it in your living room.
Well, we rebuilt it. And talk about, it's Art Deco as any other car.
Yeah.
Gorgeous car.
What did a Delahaye originally have in it?
Probably a six-cylinder.
Yeah.
A straight six?
I would assume an inline six.
Because this was a 36, 37 build.
Yeah. Possibly an inline eight, but I'm not real sure. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't either.
I don't know.
That's a sweet little ride there.
Oh, it is.
Lady Luck.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a Model A body?
I'd say it's probably about a 32 Model A.
Channeled.
To say the least.
Channel lowered.
Yep.
Yeah.
Name all of it.
You've been out here before.
Oh, yes.
What do you think of the mixture of cars that come to this?
I like it. I mean, the show out at Lakewood, unless you're a high-end classic or something special, you're not going to get in the show.
Yes, and that's all by invitation. And that is it's a completely different show than this. Mm-hmm. This being a cruise-in, the one thing that I like about this particular show is the fact that there are brand new cars here, and there are cars like that 34 or whatever it was that just rolled by here. So it's a whole different. It's all about car loving cars and being a car lover, and the collectability of some of these cars. So, do you have the Delahaye yet?
We've ordered the frame.
Okay.
And it takes 3 months, 4 months.
Okay.
And then once we get that, we'll go ahead and order the body, because that takes 5 to 6 months.
So they build it by your order. There's not sitting on the shelf somewhere.
No. Right? What we'll do is we'll buy that, make sure the frame, we'll put the engine in it, make sure we've got all the metal right, make sure it's powder coated.
So do they need to know what engine you're putting in it? So they can they need to widen up the engine bay a little bit for the dimensions of the V8?
Where did you say the body is being produced?
The body is, I think it's, where is it, Jeff?
Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Delahaye, USA.
I'm going to have to search them.
See the USA in your Delahaye.
Yeah. Sounds like a Chevy commercial.
I think
to me.
So.
So, but you have other cars.
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
Well, right now I just have the
Amaretta
and the Mustang.
Okay.
The Thunderbird, we got into it. We couldn't salvage the body.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be sold as rust-free. I should have known better.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, because it came from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Everything's rust-free in Minnesota.
Yep.
You can listen to a car rust in Minnesota.
Exactly. So I got stung on that, but it wasn't too bad. I mean, I got an engine out of it, so that'll be fun to drive.
And you could probably parts and pieces it away if you needed to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the engine's perfect, so we're ready to roll.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing the Delahaye, and next time you come out here, hopefully we'll be able to talk to you about the chassis and the arrival of the chassis and talk to you about ordering the body.
Yep.
And we'll work the progress with you. How's that?
Great. That sounds super.
We'll all be over to your house after the show.
Yep.
Well, come on over.
You got enough beer? You got any beer there?
Any beer? hold this.
What kind of question is that?
Exactly.
Yeah, we know the answer to that.
Ron, thanks so much.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
Thanks
so much for joining us again.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good one.
Okay. I wanted to right now talk to Mr. DeLong about the events calendar.
Okay. So, again, tonight, Nifty 50 is up at Grogan's Mill in the Woodlands. The Kima car meet from 6 to 9 p.m. Next Saturday is Rudy's Barbecue on Highway 249 in Tomball. They're going to have what's called a Twilight Fire 'em Up show from 4 to 8 p.m.
What?
Which is, a little bit different. And the intent of that is trying to get away from the heat of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, I think if you want to get away from the heat of the day, you need to start at 8 p.m. Yeah. and go a little bit longer.
So is that like a cackle fest?
Cackle fest, okay. So
where is that?
Rudy's Barbecue on Highway 249 in Tomball, just north of Spring Cypress.
Okay.
So you're going to go to North Park, turn around, and come back the other side.
The 2021 Chevy Bolt. I had a story that I did earlier in this program
about the
I want to kind of repeat that before we head into the car review, Mr. Mars. U.S. auto safety regulators on Wednesday urged about 50,000 owners of General Motors electric Chevy Bolt that were recalled last year to park outside now and away from your house and other structures after charging because of fire risks. And added that owners should not leave the vehicles charging overnight. The Bolt Electrics from 17 through 19 model years and were recalled for the potential of an unattended fire in the high-voltage battery pack underneath the back seats bottom cushion.
So bring the marshmallows, the Hershey bars. And
don't put the kids in the back seat.
And so graham crackers.
This is an unattended fire versus an intended fire.
An intentional fire,
an intentional, right? Or intended.
Oh,
now let's get our 2021 review of the Chevy Bolt.
I'm ready
well,
to.
I'd be happy to do that. But let's get a point of separation here before you send it in. Yeah, that little pause here. But and my fat fingers, I did tell you 2021, but it's actually 2022.
Is there a difference?
Yeah. Well, you got to.
No, this one wasn't recalled yet.
More stuff to burn.
Okay. Back to that pause, so I got a place to edit it.
Yeah, okay.
So tell us about the 2022 Bolt. So we're talking about a small
SUV. No, you're
SUV.
Going to talk
I'm
about
I'm going
it.
To talk about a small SUV, and I consider it a hatch. Chevrolet doesn't refer to it as a hatchback, but to me, it's a compact hatch. Now, this car was first introduced in 2017, and it's the 2022. There is a Bolt EUV. You shouldn't confuse it because it is 6 inches longer, which adds more rear seat room, which the Bolt EV does need. Front seat's pretty good. Rear seat's not so much. But it does have the new EV nose, what I call it, because it doesn't really look like it's got a grill or anything up front. It's kind of flush. Several of them have that. It's got LED lighting all around, headlights, taillights, daytime running lights. It's got heated side mirrors. And it looks more like what the EVs are evolving into. And when you look at the latest ones that came out, it is rolling on some 17-inch aluminum wheels, and they're all pushed out at the corner because of the sides of it. They push them out the corner. That's how they get a little more leg room and a little more cargo room in it. Inside, we had some leather seating surfaces. The front seats were heated. We had a 10.2-inch screen where we found our My Chevrolet app. That's where all your convenience and your infotainment and all that stuff, wireless charging, USB charger ports were in it, which was nice to have, but they only charge. Had the 8-inch gauge cluster. Now, in that gauge cluster is where you had the speedometer and stuff, but it had a lot of information about your charging, what you were charging, your discharge, how much you were using, regenerative braking. There was a lot of information in there, and it was kind of fun to watch. But makes you a little anxious, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I'll get to that. But it's in behind the rear seat. Rear seats fold down. There is a false cargo floor. You put seats down, it's flush, but it opens up, and there's a lot of room to put cargo in there, and that's actually where the charge cord is stored. Had the Bose Audio 7-speaker sound system in it, so it was really really sounded good inside this vehicle. Now, under the hood is it's got a 65-kilowatt battery. It's front-wheel drive. It's got a single motor. It's rated at 200 horsepower, 266 pound-feet. It's got the button shifting where you got to pull a lever, you're in drive, pull a lever, you're in reverse. That got used to that really quick. It looks really weird. But this car was surprisingly quick. I'm told, rumor has it, it would spin the tires a little bit under the right circumstances.
Oh. He is such a liar.
I know.
He's the one that has the big, heavy lead foot, and he's the one that floored it away from the stop sign.
On the Bolt EV, it's going to be a lithium ion foot. You spray me, and I'm going to slap you in the next time.
So the EPA says that this vehicle should be rated for 131 miles in the city, 109 on the highway, and 120 miles per gallon equivalent. Now, I couldn't figure out how to convert all of what I did that week into what I actually got for the week. I will tell you that, you know, we put some miles on it. It ran quick. It was smooth. The thing I really didn't like about driving this car, once I kind of, you know, got every week we got to adjust to what's going on, the tire noise. I mean, this is a quiet car, and you get out on the highway running at highway speeds. That's all you hear is this highway noise.
Do you know why? Two reasons why. First off is there's no engine noise to shade the other noise you hear. But the other thing is most EVs or hybrid vehicles run what's called a high mileage tire. So they run a much harder compound on it, and they tend to be a little more narrow trying to get better fuel economy out of it.
Also, that's one of the notes I had, that I would like to have a little bit wider tire, a little more meat up front driving it.
Well, negatively impacts fuel economy.
You also said you push the tires to the corners, too, and that's
an
influence as
well. Yeah, they are
out there
in the corners. I will say that if you want to compare it to something, you might look at the Tesla Model 3, starts at about $39,900. The Nissan Leaf starts at $31,600. And even the Toyota Prius starts at $28,200. Now, you can get a base Chevrolet Bolt EV for $33,995. Now, we had the 2LT level, which is a couple of steps up in the trim in the Chevrolet house, and it started at $34,200. Now, price as tested, $36,165. And you can also get, I should note that that is $5,400 cheaper than the 2021 model.
Oh, wow.
So they've actually gone down. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't find anything about that. But they said they had gone down in price because of it. So that is my review of the 2022 Chevrolet Bolt EV. Now I'm going to tell you my story because I can edit right there.
Okay. Yeah.
So but tell you us about range anxiety.
You do not know that Chevrolet is not listening to this broadcast right now.
Well, no. They can take a hint. And really I'm hoping that Buzz Smith, Mr. EV Angeles, is listening, because here was the scenario. So on Thursday, they deliver the car, late Thursday. I get it, and I'm looking at it, and it says it's got, by the time I get it, it's got 198-mile range on it. Well, that can get me over here, but the problem is it won't
get me back.
Yeah.
So it wasn't.
And you can't leave it plugged in.
Well, I didn't know that at the time. I read that story after I had it plugged in for 19 hours overnight.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
The recall vehicles are not that one.
Yeah. No, it's not. But it was just the idea.
You're assuming they changed it for 22, right?
So I couldn't drive it over here because my concern was if I drove it over here, I was only going to be here 6 hours. Would that put enough charge in it to get me home?
No.
I didn't know. So I didn't take the chance. I got in the truck, and I drove the truck over here. Now, I will tell you that I did plug it in, and I did plug it in for 19 hours. Now, when I plugged it in, and I did learn that there's two different levels of charge, and I started with the low one. I kicked it up to the high one. So the low one said 40 hours to get it to full charge. The high speed, when I kicked it over to the other one, said it was only going to be 34 hours to kick it up to high charge.
Oh, big difference.
Can I make a suggestion next time? Take it up to a fast charger like an EVgo.
Yeah.
30 Bucky's minutes, you get 80%.
20 miles to get to it from me.
Yeah, you burn your burn.
Gotta but remember, he lives in Hooterville.
Yeah, but let me tell you this, too. This is something I found when I was looking at it. Chevrolet says, in their documentation, Chevrolet says a 240-volt charger from you run it down zero and you want to full charge it, 7.5 hours on a 240. If you do that with a 120-volt, you can figure on gaining 4 miles for every hour you have it on charge.
4 miles?
For every hour you have it on charge using the 120.
Huh. So, in other words, don't even bother plugging it in.
Well, if you were trying to get up to 100 miles, what is that, 25 hours? And so
at Don's house, no less.
Well, I mean, you got the same problem as I got. It's not, you know, it's not something there. But
thank God.
I guess,
now, I never go to Whole Foods for anything, and for many reasons. But they do have the EVgo charging station, and in 30 minutes, I can get an 80% charge of whatever.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things about the EV cars is you're trying to top off above 50% charge.
You're right.
Which is where they charge much, much slower.
Almost like a trickle charge.
So if you are at 10% remaining charge and 90% charge available, it charges faster on the bottom half of it and then slows down on the top half.
I'm with you, and I thought, well, okay, well, that'll work. You know, I could still take it and drive it. But by only having 6 hours here, and I had to get back because I had another appointment, using their
calculations,
I couldn't charge it enough to get home.
Yeah, you'd have had to stop in Baytown for another 6 hours and then stop in Winnie for another six hours.
It's not so much a range anxiety issue. This is a change in lifestyle. You know, you can't sit here and sit there and say, okay, I can't just go out there and drive 150 miles to go to do something in Houston and expect to go over there, do it, and then come back.
Well, what are you doing? Are you preaching to the choir? Is it the pot calling the kettle black?
No, I'm saying it's not so much range anxiety from my perspective at this point. I understand the range anxiety, but it's you got to change your lifestyle, and you got to plan around this. And that's what next time we talk to Buzz.
But it's a lifestyle car.
When Chevrolet
released the Bolt, it was only sold in major metropolitan areas. It was sold in L.A. It was sold in Los Angeles. It was sold in Chicago, D.C., and New York. I'm sorry, San Francisco. San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and New York. And
is that because of the infrastructure?
It wasn't just the infrastructure.
But
it was the low mileage driving habits of those people.
Yeah, and I could see, even Don, what'd you say? It was 30, 40 miles to work for you? Round trip 60. So you could go 2 days on a full charge. Problem is you couldn't full charge. You'd have to go someplace to charge it full
overnight.
Because
guess what? They don't have that at work.
No.
There's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a fast charger at work. So I'd have to plug it into 110. Well, I might as well not plug it in.
Well, there was a note in here that in a lot of cases, GM will put that 240 in your house. You buy one of these, they'll put that 240 in, which in your case.
But not for free.
Yes. If you buy one of these.
Okay.
I guess they roll it over into the price.
Probably. Yeah. But, you know, so you could drive it. You could drive it 100 miles a day to work and back,
but you know,
and charge it overnight.
But I want a car that I can go wherever I want to go.
But that's the
stop
other car.
At Bucky's over here and spend 5 minutes putting 25 gallons worth of gas that'll get me 300, 400 miles on that tank of gas and be out of there in 5 minutes
but
if I didn't buy my Beaver Nuggets.
But that but that's a different lifestyle.
That's what I'm saying.
And you would need a different vehicle to do that. The Bolt is a lifestyle vehicle that's made for urban traffic driving. It's small. It's easy to park. It's short run.
I can see that. University students running around town. My wife, other than the fact she thinks it's too small.
You still think you're married?
Well, I was at least till 2 o'clock this morning. She could drive around. Her driving habits, this car, she could go a week easy.
If you had a 240 charger.
Right.
You'd have to have a 240
charger. Well, I think
she
could almost go a week with her driving habit without charging it at all.
But you know what? If I'm going to have a second car, it's not going to be that.
No, me either. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but there Buzz, are some people
I have a
that
different perspective of
Buzz has a now. Great I understand where he's coming from, but I'm not going to sit down and calculate how I'm going to charge the car on a road trip that goes from Dallas to San Antonio to Houston to Austin and Dallas.
And each high voltage charger you
that?
Need to find.
Are you going to do that?
Nope.
Hell no, I'm not going to do that.
No
who's going to do that?
No.
He does.
We were talking about, Becky was talking about taking the girls on a trip, you know, Palo Duro Canyon, Grand Canyon, you know, just, you know, something before school starts. And
not I'm in sitting, that.
No. or any of them like that, because now you got to sit there and say, okay, well, I got to go here and I got to stop.
And I have to stay there for 18
hours. Oh, the car's going to tell
me. Take three teenagers into Bucky's for 30 minutes and see how much that'll cost you.
The car to tell you where you need to stop. Yeah, it'll tell you where to need to stop. You know, 20 miles off the highway is the closest charging station. Well, good luck with that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's 20 miles from me to the EV Go charger.
Well, if you think about the whole story behind it is, you know, they've been selling this since 2017 in California. And now they've had all those fires in California. Maybe it's all related.
They had a charging station.
The In-Wheel Time Car Show streams on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and InWheelTime.com. Podcasts available at your favorite podcast provider. The In-Wheel Time Car Show continues right after this quick break.
We all know about aftermarket and online parts stores, and each one has something to offer, but they don't offer original factory parts. That's where Bayway comes in. For original factory parts, visit the Bayway stores first. Give them a call or stop by. Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Bayway Chevy, and Bayway Lincoln carry a complete line of parts for the do-it-yourselfer. Keeping your newer classic original means a lot, and you can count on these fully stocked parts departments to help keep it that way. Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Bayway Chevy, and Bayway Lincoln, keeping it original. Tailpipes and Tacos, Houston's premier monthly car cruise-in, returns Saturday, August 21st at two Loopy Tortilla Mexican restaurants in Katy and Inside the Loop on the Southwest Freeway near Kirby. Tailpipes and Tacos is free and everyone is invited. You'll see collector cars, hot rods, customs, magnificent originals, and resto mods at two locations. Cars from all over Southeast Texas cruise in and show off in a friends and family event at the Loopy Tortilla Mexican Restaurant on the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard just south of I-10 and Katy, and Inside the Loop on the Southwest Freeway near Kirby. Drag racer, car enthusiast, and Loopy founder Stan Holt brings you Houston's hottest cruise in. Tailpipes and Tacos at Loopy's Inside the Loop on the Southwest Freeway in Kirby and in Katy on the Grand Parkway just south of I-10, where you'll see the In Real Time Car Show. Get your ride ready and we'll see you at the Tailpipes and Tacos Saturday morning cruise-in at Loopy's in Katy and Kirby, August 21st, 8 to 11 a.m., weather permitting. You see all the new ceramic car wash cleaners on TV now, but John Gray at Gulf Coast Auto Shield has been using ceramic coatings on Houston's most expensive cars for years, and he'll tell you that nothing beats the real thing. Gulf Coast Auto Shield installs a coating over your paint that actually comes with a warranty. If you just picked up your Lambo, your Aston Martin, Porsche, Ferrari, any other exotic car, chances are your car will have company that have already found Gulf Coast Auto Shield. Now, you don't have to own an exotic. Maybe you got a truck, an SUV, or even an older vehicle that needs a little love. Well, let John Gray give it a look and give you an estimate on refurbishing that paint and making your vehicle look new again. How about getting a gift certificate for the wife's birthday or anniversary from Gulf Coast Auto Shield and tell her, honey, I know you love your car, so why don't we get it looking new again? It'll be the best gift ever, one that she'll never forget. Get hold of John Gray at gcautoshield.com or give him a call, 832-264-0670. Gulf Coast Auto Shield. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.